the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. In the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Amazing Grace, KG. Maybe we can just open the word of prayer and we'll see how the Lord leads us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for morning service. Oh Lord, how we ask your Spirit to come down. Oh Lord, that we would be really opened, like that song says, with just open heart, just to sit quiet at your feet, Lord. Oh, that's what we ask, oh Lord, that you will just speak to us, serve us, your eternal word of life, O Lord. We just commit these things into your hands, whatever will be said and done, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, KG.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart. Grace, my fears relieved. Hear how precious did that grace appear. The hour I first already come. thank you, Lord, and grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Praise God, amen. Praise God, praise God, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Thank you. Sister, thank you. I think we have just one song and brother is coming. Let's sing What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. Amen. Today is celebration day anyway. Amen, amen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leading on the everlasting high. What a blessedness.
Each and every one of you saints, may his face shine upon you. I thought that in the afternoon there will be even less people, but you are real true Christian soldiers. Everybody's back on their post of duty, so we really thank the Lord for that. I'd like to read from the book of Acts chapter 12. And thank you, Sister Chisomo, for that item, and Sister Nicoletta in the morning. Thank you for the item. Singing is very special, you know. When we go, and a few weeks later, people are asked, what was at the Easter meetings? They would not remember anything about what was preached. They will remember the singing. You know, there's something about singing. Even when we go to heaven, the Lord does not take it away. We'll still sing there. There will be no preaching at all. So you people that desire to sing, it's not just a temporary thing, you know. It's an eternal thing. So we appreciate our singers very much. The book of Acts chapter 12 from verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So this is not a game we are playing here. People were killed, and this gospel is dripping with blood of the saints that were killed for what we believe. So he killed John, the brother of James, with John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the people, the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the time we had to eat some food and renew our strength. And now, Lord, even the songs that we're saying, Lord, and what they represent to us, we thank you for it all, Lord. Be with us now, reading these few scriptures, just to look into them. Lord, may it be that it will be something that will help someone somewhere. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We may be seated for a while. I know we don't have much more time, so we should try and finish before and give ourselves time to clean up and then depart before they kick us out. And I would like to speak on a small topic, really. It's called the guide of my life. It's something that is very, very close to my heart. It's something that I absolutely cherish, because there's many things that have made a difference in my life, but none have made a difference as big as the guide of my life. I don't know if I didn't have a guide in life, what I could have become. I sincerely believe if that the Lord had not led me and guided me, I would have long time ago died. But because he's been the guide of my life, and I have let him be the guide of my life, I owe everything to him. And it's something I'm very, very passionate about. When you see me spend time with children, this is the one thing that I am always trying to impart on them, that you don't have to go through this life without a guide. Because I know what that is like. I've gone through life like that for a period of my life without a guide. And it really doesn't work out very well. But when you have a guide, it's like the song that we were singing just now, leaning on the everlasting arm. You have no worries at all. You have nothing to care about, because you have a guide, somebody who knows the way. I mean, even just that is very, very comforting. This morning, I went to Kildare to Sister Amy's house and picked my friends from there to bring them here. And because I've never come to Carlo from Kildare, I didn't know the way. But I wasn't even a single second alarmed, because I had a guide. I just put on the navigator, you know, and it showed me the way. Everybody in the car was relaxed and happy because they could see that we have a guide who knows the way. And he's going to bring us to where we are going. This guide even knows that in 30 minutes you'll be at your destination. So there's something very, very comforting about having a guide. And a guide, not everybody is qualified to be a guide. Especially at this time of Easter, when we begin to consider the things that Jesus Christ had to go through to be a qualified guide, I mean, even if he didn't have to go through any of that, he would still be qualified. But the Bible says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He had to suffer these things to learn some obedience. I don't know what else he had to learn, but he had to learn that. And I think that he is the only qualified guide that you and me should rely on. Because there are so many other guides that say they are guides, but maybe they are not qualified to be guides. And when we follow them, we find ourselves lost somewhere. Now, in the book of John chapter 16, there's a verse there that Jesus speaks as he spoke to his disciples, and he says that, I have many things, in verse 12, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I think that this is a great blessing to you and to me as a Christian, that the Lord Jesus has sent the Spirit of truth, which has come to guide us and to show us the way, to show us things that are to come. I mean, what else do we really need? I mean, this world is looking for this. They want to know what's going to happen next. There's a lot of uncertainty about this and that, but there's a group of people today that have no alarms whatsoever. They are seated, they are relaxed, no worry whatsoever, and I'm looking at them. Why? Because we've got a guide who knows the way. You know, people go to many, many places in life. Every time we are going somewhere, even when we are seated here, some people are going somewhere in their mind, you know. And after going to some places, after a while, we begin to know the way, you know. And we also become qualified to guide people to where they want to go if we know the place. For example, if you were to come to Suncroft and we sit in my house fellowshipping, if you told me that you wanted to go to Lidu in Newbridge, I can show you the way. Because I'm now qualified to guide you to Newbridge, Lidu, because I've gone there many, many times. You know, so there's many places that we go to, and depending on whether we have gone there before, we might need a guide, we might not need a guide. And some people are qualified for certain journeys. They can bring you to some destinations because they've been there before. But there are different kinds of journey that we take in life. Simply because I know how to show you to get to Lidl doesn't mean that I'm qualified to show you how to navigate your way into the right career. I might not be that guy. Maybe I've made a mess of my own career. How am I going to guide you into your own career? You can be sure the verse that Jesus speaks about, and he says that when the blind lead the blind, they will all fall into the ditch. It will come to pass in your life when you follow the wrong kind of a guide. And some journeys, they are more important than other journeys, you know. I mean, you could say that I would like to go to college and study some degree or something. That's a journey that you take. And you need a guide. You don't need to fumble around and end up doing some course and then ask me. There are many people with many degrees that they don't use. But if they had had a guide before that, they would have not wasted so many years of their life sitting in a classroom somewhere only to end up maybe doing something else. A guide will avoid all those kind of things for you in your life. And then there's a different kind of journey, and it's a journey of perhaps maybe getting married. And that's a very, very important journey, and you need to be sure that you've got the right kind of a guide, because if you take up the wrong degree at university and then after a while you realize it doesn't really work out for me, it's okay, you know, you can change and go start all over again and do something else. But if you take up the wrong path towards marriage and then you end up in the wrong kind of a relationship, if you go to the deacons, they'll tell you that, well, you chose him. You know, who was that saying that the other day? I can't remember who was. Who was? Brother Isaac. Brother Isaac. Yeah. Oh, yes, I remember. He really says it. But of course, we don't say it like that. We try to help. But these are very important journeys that you take in life. You can't take it for granted that you know what you're doing until it even says that you should enter into marriage prayerfully and advisably, because you need a guide to show you the way. So we find people that are qualified in all these areas to help us navigate the way. But there's a journey in life that there's nobody qualified to lead you except the Lord himself. That's a very important journey, because you will only find out when it's too late to do anything about it that you have gone about it the wrong way. So you can't afford to fumble that kind of a journey. It's a journey that you need to be sure that you are sure that you are sure that you are walking according to the word of God, and that he is guiding you on that journey. Because the day that you will discover that you have gone about it the wrong way, it will probably be too late to do anything about it. And I can tell you, hell is not a place of fun. It's not what they make on TV these days, showing them having a shindig or some, what is the kind of music they do now? What is it called? The music. What? I even forgot, and it's probably a good thing. What is the music they do these days? No, not Afrobeat, brother. We were talking about this music. Rock and roll, you know. They can take Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and turn it into some kind of devil music. And they sing that in church. I mean, that's exactly a case of the blind leading the blind. And they don't know that they are going to fall into a ditch somewhere when it is too late. So these journeys that we take, they are very, very important. And we must make sure we have the right kind of a guide. You know, the prophet speaks about that he was a certified guide in the state of Colorado. And he knows how to get you to safety when you get lost in the mountains. Because people love mountains. I love mountains. And when you go there, you could get lost. You can get disoriented, and you don't even know which way is north. Right now, if I ask anybody here, they will tell you which side is north, because we know Carlo. But when you get lost in the woods, it's very easy. You get so disoriented, and you don't know which side is north, which side is south. You can get so desperate when you get lost that even when your own brother comes to you and say, I want to help you to get back to where you know, you might not even recognize the man. And you're frantic and you're fighting. You become an animal when you get lost. So it's very important that whatever journey you undertake in this life, you take the right kind of guide with you. Because guides, they have certain techniques they use, you know, when they want to find the way, because they can also get lost, you know. But because they are trained to be guides, they know how to reorient themselves again and find the way. And Brother Branham speaks about when you are in the woods and you don't know, you are lost and you don't know which side is north, because that's the first thing that you do. He says that to find north, you go on any tree in the woods, put your hand around like this, and start going around the tree, feeling the bark of the tree. And where the bark is thick, how do you even know that? You need to be a certified guide. So when you don't know and you have gone and presuming and you get lost, you can end up with a nightmare on your hands, and you don't know how to find the way. So in this life, we must make sure that whatever we do, we've got the right kind of guide, even us as Christians too. Because Paul, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. You can be sure in this life that you are following somebody. No matter what you think, you are following someone. Everybody is following somebody. And what you need to make sure about is the person you are following, who is he following? Because sometimes people follow people and they don't know who that person is following. We were looking at this music thing with the children, and we were looking at rock and roll, and who those people follow. And they absolutely confess it with their mouth. They follow the devil. They get their inspiration from the devil. They follow the devil. And the devil is not having a picnic with any of us. He has one goal and one goal alone: to destroy you, to kill you, to bring you to hell. He wasn't joking when he sent Jesus up that cross. He was going to kill him and to destroy him. And he did exactly that. And even here now we find Herod, he stretches forth his hands to vex certain of the church. You think Herod was joking? He literally took this James, the brother of John, and killed the man. The same thing that he had done to John the Baptist. So you can see this spirit here is not some kind of spirit that we should play around with. We should be deadly sincere in the decisions that we make, because there are some guides that come in subtly to try and lead you astray and bring you somewhere. Now, when he took Peter, he put him into the prison. And it's a small example, but I like this example. Because here was Peter now, right in the prison, the inner of the inner of the prison. And when they bring him inside, they lock all these gates. There's no way Peter would have come out of that prison. And even in the inner of the inner side, when they were putting him in there, they put him with two soldiers, one on this side, one on this side, tied his hands to this one, tied his hands to this one, even his legs. So he was completely imprisoned right in there, and there's no way Peter could have found the way out of that prison. But here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. It does not matter where you are, at what point you are lost. At any point, he can find you where you are and bring you back to where you are supposed to be. He can bring you back to a familiar place again, because in this place, all Peter was seeing was the prison walls and these two guards. But it said the night before he was to be killed, because I don't think Herod was going to bring him before the people for a show. He was going to kill him as he did James. And it says, verse number 7, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly." What did Peter do? He did. Jasmine. So he arose, his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. Very simple. Amen. There was no need for him to go to astrology school or to become an astronaut first. It was very, very simple. He just tap him on the cheek and say, "Arise," and he arose. That was God leading him, guiding him. And it says, "Get up on your feet, put on your sandals." And he got up on his feet and put on his sandals. This is very, very simple how God guides his people. It's not some kind of, I don't know, some formula that is so difficult to decipher that you have to read and figure out what to do. God will lead you and guide you one step at a time if you are willing to be led and guided. Just like Peter. Impossible situation. But he came and he said, "Toop, arise," and he arose. He obeyed the first thing. "Put on your sandals," he put on his sandals. He obeys the second thing. And he keeps on going like that. And so he did, and he says unto him, "Cast thy garments about you and follow me." He cast his garments about him and he followed. So simple, even though the gate right immediately in front of him was locked. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Himself, he was like, this can't be true. This must be a vision. But anyhow, because there was something in Peter, he had that spirit of obedience, even in a vision, even in a dream. When you have a dream and the Lord is trying to teach you something, his default answer was to obey and follow what God wanted him to do. And he led him. And it says there, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads unto the city. So you see, there were three gates that had locked Peter in. And at every one of them soldiers, there is no way he could have found his way out. It was secured. He was going to be killed the following day. And that's where the devil wants to bring you. He wants to bring you to a place where nobody can help you. But I can tell you today, there is no place that the devil can bring you that the Holy Spirit cannot find you. It doesn't matter how far he can make you sink. As long as you are willing, God can send help to right where you are and begin to bring you out one step at a time. He didn't show Peter that I have come here to rescue you. No. Peter didn't know the people were praying for him. He just obeyed one step at a time. And it says, and passed through, and when they went past the first and the second ward, and came unto the iron gate that leads unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Why? Because he has been brought back to familiar ground again. And Peter looks and he was like, isn't that that street that goes to Brother Jesse's house? This way I can get to Brother so-and-so's house. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. It's very, very simple. We've got to let the guide guide us. If you want to be successful in your life, in any area of your life, let the guide guide you. Let him be the one that guide you. Don't let all these other ones guide you that don't know what they are doing. Because definitely there are some guides that have no place guiding people. There's one here that I would like to quickly refer to in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13. It's a lengthy reading, so we won't read all of it. 1 Kings chapter 13, because something had happened, and there was a king in Judah, and his name was Jeroboam. He was a very evil king, you know. He was really bad. He led the people astray. And so God had sent a prophet to Jeroboam to go and prophesy. But God gave this prophet specific instructions. And he says, you go and do as I tell you, but when you get there, don't eat anything, don't drink anything, and when you come back, don't come back the way that you went. Simple. He goes there, he does his work, things happen. Even Jeroboam says, come to my house, I want to eat food with you and give you a gift. So that's verse number 6. Sorry, 7. And the king said unto the men of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give you a reward. And the men of God said unto the king, if you will give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink any water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. God had spoken to this prophet. He was a prophet of God. And he told him these things, and he went and he obeyed exactly as he was told. And he was on his way back home. Well done. It's a good job. But let's see what happened a little after. Because when he was doing all these things with Jeroboam, there were some boys standing there. They seen what happened, and their father was a prophet too. So they went home and they were telling dad what happened there. Ooh, there was a man of God, a prophet. He came and he said this and it happened and this and that. And the father was like, where did this man go? Show me. And he went and he met with the prophet. Two prophets meet one with another. So verse number 14. And went. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that you came. And he said, this other prophet, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. A prophet. He was a prophet, this man. But he lied. That just shows how sincere we must be when we want to find a guide in our life. Because there are some people that have no business being a guide. You know? They have no business being a guide because where did this prophet get this? That you can lie and say, I'm a prophet also, thus saith the Lord. Where do you think he got it? He was used to doing this sort of thing. Lying in the name of the Lord. And it cost this man his life because he turned back and went with him and did exactly as the Lord told him to go. Right there when they were sitting there eating, this prophet who lied, now he prophesied the truth. And he said, thus said the Lord, you have done what I told you not to. You are not going to leave this place. Your bones will not be buried where your fathers are buried. And you see the cruelty of sin, the cruelty of the devil. He wants to lead you to some place where you cannot come back. But when you have the right kind of a guide, the only one who knows the way, who here knows the way of this life? None of us. We all have to depend upon the Lord. Remember the brother who had the dream. And in the dream, Brother Branham was showing the way, going with him, and they came to a place. And then he said, Brother Branham says, I can't go beyond this point with you. You have to go this part on your own. And the brother was like, but Brother Branham, how will I know the way? And Brother Branham said, he pointed him to the bloody footprints. And he says, I also had to follow these bloody footprints to get to where you are supposed to go. My, how serious a matter it is. But what do we do? There are many voices that try to lead us these days. It's very, very surprising because people spend hours and hours and hours on YouTube. What do you think it's doing to you? I mean, it's guiding you and leading you somewhere. And many of the people that are there, you don't know what kind of life they live anyhow. Or this one said this, or this one said that. And many of them crucifying the word of God anew again on that platform. Not only that, but it's the only one that I can get to. I can't get to Facebook or Twitter. I don't know how they work anyway. So, when I'm saying YouTube, it also means all those ones. Some of them, I mean, you could use it for good, you know. I spend hours on YouTube too, researching stuff. But some of the stuff that people spend their hours doing, it's a voice that is speaking to you, trying to guide you. There's nothing such as pointless entertainment, harmless entertainment. Everything is trying to sway you some way or the other. Can you tell me how somebody can sit in their corporate offices and decide to spend 100 million on adverts just for the fun of it? They are doing it to sway your opinion. They want you to buy their product in the end.
They do the same with the movies. They do the same with music. They want to influence you towards something. And the more time you spend in that ground, the more you are guided in there. No wonder then, when the time comes to make the right decisions, because you watched a movie somewhere, and then a brother comes and he's the right one to marry you, one of you young sisters, and you say, nah, he doesn't have nice looking feet. Can you imagine? Brother Branham had to deal with a sister like that. She says that he was saying, that brother is not the one for you, sister. Can't you see it? And she said, but brother Billy, he has such nice feet and he smells so good. Where did she get that from? I mean, where did she get that kind of guidance from? That when you want to get married, you look for somebody with nice looking feet. Huh? And smells good. You see, she was following the wrong kind of a guide. And that's the treachery of it, is that many times you are following the wrong kind of a guide, but you don't realize that you are following someone. You think, something in my heart wants it to be that way. It's your fallen nature. It was influenced by someone somewhere, and it's not leading you to a good place. No, by no means it's not. And so when the time comes to hear the voice of God, it's very hard for the voice of God to speak to you, because there are so many other voices speaking around you, trying to guide you to do this. How can you, if everybody here starts to talk, how can anybody hear anybody? It's not possible. You've got to choose your guide, the one that you spend time with, and go into a quiet place with, and listen to that guide and that guide alone. When you come out of there, I'm telling you, that's what Jesus says there. I have many things to say to you now, but I'll send you the Spirit of God, and he will guide you into all truth. And sometimes it could be through somebody. But because you have waited on the Lord, you know it. You know this person was sent to lead and to guide me. Let's read. I know our time is going. What is the time now, I wonder? Joshua chapter 2. A very simple story of the two spies that were sent into Jericho by Joshua to go and spy the land. And they come into Jericho. They have just come into Jericho, and they don't know this city. They have never been there before. And so obviously they need somebody to show them the way. And it comes to pass that they go into Rahab's house and they begin to ask about things. But while they were talking with Rahab, the king of Jericho, he says, go and find those two men that came here. Go and bring them here. And the soldiers came to... What is her name? Rahab. They come to Rahab's house. Where are those two men that came to your house? And this woman here, she was quite something else. And the king of Jericho, verse number 3, sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to you, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, There came men unto me, but I wist not where they were. So can you imagine what kind of trust these two spies had to put into Rahab in that instance? Because they realized something, that we don't know this city. We have never passed this way before. And now the king of this city is looking for us. We need someone to help us to hide from this king and to help us to escape from this place. So if they had looked at Rahab and considered her, this old harlot, why should we listen to her? They would not have made it out of this city. But they had to allow Rahab to lead them and to guide them into safety. There's no way they could have escaped but rely upon the word of an old harlot. And she hid them on the roof, and there they were on the roof, and she was sending these soldiers away. And she said to them, go after them and search for them in the fords and stuff like that. And so I want to come back to that place. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be back, and afterwards you may go your way. These two spies, I don't think they were just ordinary guys like you and me. They must have had some kind of military training for them to carry out a task like going to spy a city. But for them to be told by a woman who had absolutely no experience in espionage to go into the mountain and hide for 3 days. She didn't say two, she didn't say five. She said 3 days, and they had to do exactly as this woman said. So it's no use having a guide if you are not going to listen to what the guide tells you to do. Because God has provided graciously a guide for you and for me to guide us and navigate us through this life. But there is no point whatsoever in having this guide if you are not going to do exactly what he says to you do. Remember this old prophet, he was told, don't eat bread there. He might have thought, what really has bread got to do with this whole thing here? I mean, I just want some bread and water. Why can't I go back home the same way that I came? But he had to follow exactly what the guide said if he was to make it safely back home. And he didn't, because he thought, what's that got to do with anything anyhow? I can dress the way I want. God sees my heart. Well, it's got everything to do with it because God said so. I mean, if God gave us a commandment here to not eat bread, we will not eat bread because God said so. He doesn't have to justify why. We can try and probe and find a reason why, but really when God says something, we just must obey, you know, because he knows the way. The Bible says he created the heavens and the earth. How do we know where to go if we leave this world? He knows. He's been there. He's been to hell and back. So they had to follow exactly what Rahab said, despite her being a harlot without any of this espionage experience. And they were saved because they did exactly that. But if you look on the reverse side now, Rahab was a very wise woman. No wonder she features in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, because it says by faith Rahab also, you know, because she recognized something. Even though they were living in this very secure city where they could shut the gates and make sure no enemy comes in, yet she recognized something, that these people, they have destroyed other kings and they will destroy this city. And she knew that if I could get guidance from these people, I will be saved. And they told her what to do. When we come and you see us come, get your whole family into your room, into your house. Put them in there, put the scarlet on the window, the scarlet thread, and don't go out. Even though her house was on the top of the wall that made the city wall. Did it make any sense? It didn't make any sense. Because when they marched around the wall on the seventh day, the walls crumbled down. And she could have panicked. People would have panicked to see the walls crumbling down all around. Yet she knew that those two men, they told me to stay here. And I will stay here because that was the guidance, the guide of my life. when you can follow what the guide wants you to do. Simple, step by step, and not reason things out, you will be brought to safety. It's that simple. And then there's a story of Brother Branham when he went hunting and he took his wife and son there. And he left them in the cabin in the woods and he went to hunt. And he thought, I'm a good guide. He knew how to guide himself. And there's many of us that are like that here. We know how to guide ourselves very well. And that's the saddest thing about many Christians, is that we wait until things are too far gone and the darkness has settled down, and then we realize, I don't know the way out of here. That's what Brother Branham did. He kills his bark, he puts it on the tree. Now he wants to go back, he starts walking. Can you imagine, brother? That's a nightmare. You are walking and going, and then all of a sudden you see, wasn't I here just a few moments ago? Where did I turn? Let me go this way. And he went again, and he went and went and went, and the next thing he's back at the same place again. That's exactly what happens to many of us as Christians, is that we lead ourselves and we go round and round, and every time we come to the same place again. There is absolutely no need for any of that, because there's somebody who has gone that way before. When you are lost, they can guide you back to safety. And when you realize that I'm going round and round and round this place, and he says, Lord, I am lost, and I don't know what to do. I thought I was a pretty good guide myself, but I'm lost. I don't know what to do. What is my wife and my child going to do today? And it's getting cold, and they don't know how to light the fire. Oh my, what a nightmare. He said he had a gun, the prophet, the one that he was using to hunt. And when he realized that I'm completely lost here, he took his gun and he put it down. And he knelt down and began to pray. To me, it speaks of something. Because when you have a gun, it gives you some level of confidence. I mean, you can go face your enemies anywhere because you've got something that they don't have. And you don't even have to pull it out. You just have to go flash it like this. And you become the boss in the room for a while. I mean, people have robbed banks like that. You just go and put money in my bag, and they put, maybe it's even a toy. And he had his gun. It would have given him some kind of confidence. But he had to lay it down. And that's the thing with us, is that we can be too confident of ourselves. That I am in this situation, but I am going to come out of it anyhow. No, there's no need. Yeah, lay down your confidence and then seek the Lord. He's there. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. And when the prophet prayed there and he got up, he took his gun, and he said, Lord, I'm going to do the best that I can. And I'm going to go straight this way. I will not turn left or right. It will be straight this way. And I will make it back to the cabin after prayer. And he did exactly that. And he begins to walk. And he's walking and he's walking. And all of a sudden, he feels somebody touches him on the shoulder. And he goes, the moment he turned to check who it is, the clouds had opened, and he seen, oh my, he was going exactly the opposite direction. Even with the best of sincerity, with the best of prayers, because I think I would be very happy for the prophet to pray for me, for anything, you know. Even with the best of prayers, yet he was going exactly the opposite direction, marching into Russia. And just that little gap allowed him to orient himself and say, oh, I was going the wrong way. This is the right way. And he began to go. Amen. The guide of my life. Amen. He has been my guide in life. I've made decisions in life to the best of my ability. The best of what I thought this was a really well-considered decision. And they came to nothing. But brother, when I recognized that God has given me a guide, All I need to do is to go and seek where that guide is and talk over it a little bit. And the next thing, the solution comes. And many times when it comes, you're like, ah, why didn't I see that before? It was right there before me all this time. Why? Because it's a principle of God. If God wanted you to guide yourself in life, you wouldn't be born as a baby. You would have been just, boom, you are there like Adam, first day. You can already figure things out for yourself. But he made you born as a baby because it's a principle of God. He puts you into a family with a mother and father to guide you and show you the way. And then you are put into a school to guide you and show you the way. And then you go to university to be guided and shown the way. Maybe by that time, you now know also how to lead and to guide others in their also small decisions. You know, when a child comes and says, I don't want to go to school anymore. And she's only 5 or 6 years old, you know. I don't want to go to school anymore. And you are 12 years old. I mean, you will know that this child is making the wrong decision. And you begin to guide them. Say, what are you going to do? You need to go to school. This world is made in such a way that you've got to go to school if you are going to look after yourself. Because you have passed through that way also before, you know. And then later on you become a father and maybe you have children too. And you sit in a church and God puts you in a church because he wants you to have a pastor. And things go on like that, and maybe by his grace he also makes you somebody of influence. And you begin to lead and to guide other young families. Every time, that's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Every time there's someone in front of you, leading you and guiding you. You might not acknowledge it, but it is true that we all follow someone. It might not be somebody that you can name by their name. Maybe it is your nature, your own fallen nature. That you are relying on, depending on, and you are letting that nature guide you, I'm telling you, it will not lead you to a good place. It will lead you to a place that you don't want to be. But when you can let the guide of my life, the Lord Jesus Christ, guide you. How does he do it? Very simple. By his word. Very simple. And he says, love one another. I mean, that's very simple, Brother Joe. But a lot of people find that to do. Just to love one another. Despite of what people have done, love one another. That's what the Bible says. Your heart may say something else different. To say that brother, he did this to me last time. I'm going to get him next time. No, but the word says love one another. And that's the guide leading you and guiding you. Because he knows the moment you begin to plan to revenge on a brother, you are inviting certain things that you never thought would get on you. And you are harboring all these ill feelings and anger and all these kind of things. The next thing, your health takes a turn. You go to hospital, they can't help you. Why? You neglected to love one another. That's what the scriptures say. Be kind one to another. That is our guide, guiding us through life. And if we can even do that in every sphere of our lives, I'm telling you, there will be no problem whatsoever. The only problem is from people who haven't got that revelation yet. But for you, it's okay. People can say what they say, even as we ask our musicians to come. People can say what they say, poke you in any way they can poke you. It doesn't really bother you that much. Because you know, I don't depend on my feelings. I depend on what the word of God says. And it says to me, love one another. Be ye kindly affectioned. Eh? Kindly affectioned to one another. To really feel for someone else's things that they are going through. To really put yourself into their shoes. And when you do that, God uses you to bring the solution to those people. But God doesn't bring solutions to people. Why? Because we neglect the guide of our lives. He wants to guide us one step at a time.
I have many things to say unto you, the Lord Jesus said, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. And this is the truth that he will guide us into, is to love one another. As we think about him and the price he paid at Easter, let us consider his guidance in our lives, because he's thoroughly, thoroughly ended, and we have not earned anything, Brother Jesse.
Holding on to the rope, to the soul, through a bow, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take,
this great eye is the way.
There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course to pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an old saying, I watching you. As you make life's great flight, keep the pathway of right. There's an eye watching you. God will warn not to go on the path of the fall. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day find the course to pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Fix your mind on the goal, the sweet home of the soul. There's an eye watching you. Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day. There's an eye watching you, watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course to pursue. Watching you, watching you. There's an old saying, I watching you.
The love of God. The love of God. Let's see. Kitty, kitty.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or breath can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest man. The guilty to wait, he said in child, he recalls our in pardon from his seed. Oh, love of God, our ancient beauty.
And your mercies to us, Father. Your love is so strong. Your love, Lord, will endure forever indeed. Amen. Father, for not only did you die on the cross for us, Lord, for our salvation, but you sent us a guide to guide us through this life. Lord, to give us that blessed assurance that as long as we follow the guide of our lives, we will get to where you want us to get, Lord. No matter what the devil may do, no matter how many Herods may rise, Lord, Father, to buffet and to confuse and to vex the church, and indeed to put some to death by the sword, Lord, none of those things can ever take us away from your presence. So long as we follow the guide, may you grant us this grace this afternoon, Lord, that in our hearts there might be that willingness, Lord, that teachableness, Lord, where, Father, we can be led, we can be guided. Lord, for indeed, Lord, we are your children. We do not know the way. There's no way, Lord, we can ever know where to go from this world to the next. They might send rockets to different places, Lord, but they will never find the way and we'll never know the way. Father, it is only to follow thy leadership and thy guidance and the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us this afternoon, Lord, as we would go home, we pray that you lead us and guide us, Lord. Father, that you show us the way, Lord, even before we open our mouths to say anything. Lord, could it be led of you, Lord, and be guided by your Spirit, that we may do that which is right before you. I pray for every person that's here, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. I commit them into your hands and ask, Lord, that you bless each and every one of them. From the little children, Lord, that have said patiently, Lord, unto the eldest in our midst, Lord, Father, we ask your blessing upon them. That, Lord, these words, these few words that have been said, Lord, Father, may you take these words and reorder them in your own fashion and say something to your people to help them, Lord, in the time of need. For, Lord, we all need that help every time, Lord. On our own, we know not the way, but we are glad this afternoon, Father, that you are a present helper in the time of need. Whenever we desire need, Lord, you are there to lead us and to guide us and to show us the way. Bless us, Father. Help these young ones, Lord, as they are growing up, Lord, making decisions about life, not to rely on the wrong influence, but that, Lord, they might lean on the guide of our lives,
that has shepherded us, Lord, up to this hour. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Bless now, Father, our musicians. Lord, our trustees, they've worked so hard that, Father, this services, Lord, may be, Lord, possible. We pray that you give them strength, Lord, and bless them. Lord, we pray for our brethren that are not with us today. Father, wherever they are, in England, in the States, Lord, in Switzerland, wherever they may be this afternoon, may you bless them, keep them safe, Lord, and bring them back home safely. Hey. Even our sister Sarah.
May you bless this place. Let it be a place, Lord, where many young people will find the right guide of life and that they will be shepherded, Lord, to eternal life is our prayer. Yes. Be with us now. Bless the mothers, the sisters, Lord, that have worked, Lord, to provide food. We commit them into your hands. Amen. May you bless them for their efforts. And we thank you, Lord, for our faithful deacons, Lord, that have maintained, Lord, order here, Lord, and made this service possible. May you bless them, Father. Watch over them and provide for their families. Grant us grace, Lord, until we would meet again. We commit our ways into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, with us. Burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. My heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. Alas, and it my Savior bled, and death my soul. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight.
cross, hey, the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart.